Hello, everyone. Welcome to Eternity, where love never fails. Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening. This is the Eternity Bible Study Podcast, where we walk through the Bible together every weekday, Monday through Friday. We're podcasting from here in the United States and in Zambia with a goal to share our thoughts and encourage one another as we read God's Word together verse by verse. My co-host in Zambia, Matali, and I are both listening to Through the Bible Podcast and then sharing our thoughts and encouragement with you. From America to Africa and everywhere else, God is in control. As always, our attribution goes to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. So if you've ever wanted to try to read the Bible every day, we hope you can join us. We're regular people, just like you, trying to learn more about God and walk in step with His Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bible, feel free to read along, and if not, no problem. We'll try to put it all together for you. So let's get started.
Hello, so today's teaching is coming from 1 Samuel chapter 25, beginning at verse 25 all the way through to 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 1 through to verse 25. So from where we left off our study yesterday, you know, we read about a man called Nabal, whose name means fool. And he actually did live up to his name. He had, you know, insulted David's messengers, who had actually been sent by David to ask for some food. And David, you know, he had been protecting this man's possessions for a long time, you know, against bandits and thieves and all. And this actually annoyed David. So he and his 400 men, they girded up there and they went to seek vengeance against this man. So this man Nabal, he's married to a very noble, decent, pretty, and wise woman called Abigail, and she had known David as a man of nobility, and she knew what David would actually do when she heard that, you know, David and his army of 400 were on their way. And she knew that, you know, what David was capable of doing and what he would do and how God had dealt with David. And she actually hastily sent out food to David. So she sent out, that was in verse 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seers of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on a donkey. So she sent out hastily sent out a lot of food with her servants, and she also went after the food. When she went and met David, and you know, David here, he's faced with a noble woman face to face. She's beautiful and she's wise, and she actually bows to him and asks David not to take his revenge on her. Like, if David's actually going to take his revenge, he should take it on her. And she's the wife of Nabal, and she appeals to the best of David. She appeals to the best that's in David. So I'll begin reading at verse 25 of chapter 25 of 1 Samuel, and verse 25 reads, "Please let not my lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent." Verse 26, "Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand. Now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. And now, this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Verse 28, please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. So she apologizes that her husband is a scoundrel. He's a fool. And, you know, here she says, evil is not found in you throughout your days. So David, he is just starting out, and evil will actually be in his house later on. But up until this point, David is clean, and he's lived for God and is attempting to please God. And this woman admires him for it. Verse 29 goes on to read, yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. So this here, like Dr. J.V. McGee said, is a remarkable thing said about David. So Abigail is referring to King Saul, who has been after him. She didn't mention the name. It says, yet a man has risen to pursue you. So she's referring to King Saul. So the position of the believer today in Christ is, our souls are bound in the bundle of life with the Lord our God. So the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life. And when we trust him as our Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of believers, and that body is Christ. So by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, according to the Apostle Paul. So today, we are brought into the body of believers, the body of Christ, by faith. So if we just believe, you know, have faith in Christ, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit and we are brought into a body of believers. So we are bound in the bundle of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abigail said this to David. And this is just glorious. This is beautiful. Just today, you know, we're talking about my nephew getting baptized. You know, I'm so proud of him. He's 16 years old. And his aunt, my sister, Barbara, she took him to go and get baptized. And, you know, this is a decision that he's actually made for himself, which is a good decision, and I am very, very proud of him, and I will keep praying for him, you know, to make such a decision in a world that we're living in today, a world that's full of immorality and a world that's just full of, you know, so many wrong things happening. To make a decision for, you know, a 16-year-old, it's amazing. It's, you know, nothing short of the glory of God, and, you know, God is good all the time. He is faithful, and I'm glad, you know, I'm happy that he has chosen this particular path and journey to be on. So, you know, as Paul said, I'm going to say it again, by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. And this is beautiful. You know, it's very beautiful what she says. She says, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. Our lives are in Christ. Once we have faith and we believe and have faith in Christ, we are baptized in one body, and you know, our lives are bundled in, you know, our souls are bound in the bundle of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we walk with Christ. So David, here, she also points out, deliberately, if we may say, she says, he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. So here, you know, David had slayed Goliath with a slingshot, and it was well known in Israel, and this is how his enemies will be slung out. That's it, like past tense for sling. So she said this purposefully, that, you know, your enemies will be, you shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling, you know, his enemies. Okay, so verse 30 goes on to read, and it shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that the my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. So here she's saying, you know, don't hold this against us. You know, when she's telling him, when you become king, don't hold this against us. Remember your maidservant. You know, don't hold the fact that, you know, my husband was, you know, insulted you and was disrespectful. Scripture goes on to read, I'll drop down to verse 32, and verse 32 reads, and David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Verse 33, and blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal. So Nabal, he was a drunk, and you know, he was a foolish drunk, and David said he would have actually killed them all. Verse 35 goes on to read, so David received from her hand what she had brought him, and said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. Verse 36, now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So here, Nabal was a drunk. He was having a jolly old time, and he was like so drunk. Verse 37 goes on to read, so it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, obviously nursing a hangover, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. So Nabal, you know, he was a drunk, and he had so much, he had had so much to drink the previous night, and he sobered up the next morning, and that's when the wife narrated to him exactly what had happened. And, you know, from his very heart, now he's just, you know, he's got a cold heart. He's now terrified of what he had done. Verse 38 goes on to read, then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. So Nabal had a heart attack, basically here. So it's well that God actually intervened, because David would have actually murdered them all, and God didn't want it that way, as well as Abigail also didn't want David to have blood on his hands. Okay, verse 39 goes on to read, so when David heard that Nabal had died, he said, blessed be the Lord who had pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head. And David sent and proposed to Abigail, who to take her as his wife. When the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife. Then she arose, bowed her face to the earth, and said, here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Okay, so verse 42 goes on to read, so Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey, attended by five of her maidens, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. So Abigail was, you know, the only woman that actually ever did David well. She was a blessing to him. She, you know, she gave him proper advice, and Abigail had actually appealed to David when she had sent and David couldn't actually forget her. She had actually appealed to the best of him. She brought out the best in him, and you know, it was love at first sight. You know, she had a nice countenance, and she was wise, and she was you know, a noble woman. So she had advised him, and David recognizes the hand of God there. Verse 43 goes on to read, David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and so both of them were his wives. So it's not that God approved of this. God did not approve of this. Verse 44 goes on to read, but Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was from Galim. So this here we see is the beginning of a life of sin of David, sin entered into his life, and later on, this type of lifestyle is what murdered him. So when David sinned, God did not put the lash on David's back, and actually God put the lash on David's back. And he never relented. He never took it off David's back. Okay, so now we get to chapter 26. In chapter 26, we see David spares Saul again in the wilderness of Ziph. And we'll see the contrast between Saul and David. So Saul knows now that David is God's choice, but despite of this, Saul seeks to slay David. So David knows that David knows that Saul is the anointed king, and he actually spares him. Not on one occasion only. And God will actually deal with Saul. So David leaves it into God's hand. Verse 1 goes on to read of chapter 26, 1 Samuel. Now the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeth, saying, is David not hiding in the hill of Hachilah opposite Jehishuan? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. So Saul actually gets up on another campaign to try and destroy David. So David was in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul had come after him. So David knew that wilderness very well, and Saul didn't. He knew it pretty well because he had stayed there for quite a while. And from here on, David is actually a great military man. So he knew the terrain of that land that made him an expert general, actually. So he also had loyal men that were willing to die for him and with him. So Saul didn't know the terrain that well in the wilderness, and his followers were not as loyal as they could be. Verse 4 goes on to read, David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped, and David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of the army. Now Saul lay within the camp with the people encamped all around him. Okay, so David is here in a position to actually observe all this. So David couldn't believe that Saul could actually make such a military blunder and come up deep into the wilderness that was David's stronghold? Verse 6 goes on to read, then David answered and said to Ahimelech, sorry, the Hittite, and to Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul in the camp? And Abishai said, I will. I will go down with you. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp with his spear stuck in the ground by his head, and Abner and the people lay all around him. So Saul the head of the bed had, you know, he stuck his spear in the ground. Verse 8, and they were sleeping. He was sleeping in a trench, and all around him, they were supposed to be guarding him, were sleeping. Verse 8 goes on to read, then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now, therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. So Abishai here says it will only take one blow to actually smite Saul. And he sees an opportunity, and he's telling David, let me smite him. It's just going to take one time to just strike him. Verse 9 goes on to read, but David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can stretch out the hand, his hand against the Lord? Let me just read that again. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can strike out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? So David again refuses to slay Saul at this opportunity. He is leaving it to God. Verse 10 goes on to read, David said, furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out, he shall go out to battle and perish. So God will actually take care of him. That's what he's saying here. And God's gonna take care of him. You know, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord God. Verse 11 goes on to read, the Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed, but please take now the spear and please take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head, and let us go. Verse 12 goes on to read, so David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away. So they got away, and no man saw or knew it or woke. And no man saw or knew or woke or awoke, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Sorry for the yawning. So here, so they were sleeping when David and Abishai, you know, crept into their camp and got the spear that Saul had stuck in the ground near his head and the jug of water. Verse 13 goes on to read, "Now David went over to the other side and stood on top of the hill, afar off, a great distance being between them." So David withdrew, but he did not withdrew to his men. He went around to the other side at a safe distance. So he stood at a safe distance from the camp of Saul. Verse 14 goes on to read, "And David called out to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, 'Do you not answer Abner?' Then Abner answered and said, 'Who are you calling out? Who are you calling out to the king?'" So David is being sarcastic here to Abner, who was the captain for Saul and should have been protecting the king. Verse 15 goes on to read, "So David said to Abner, 'Are you not a man who was and who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your Lord?'" So why haven't you guarded the Lord your king? Sorry, "For one of the people came in to destroy your Lord king." Verse 16, "This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die because you have not guarded their "This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die because you have not guarded your master, the Lord's anointed. And see now where the king's spear is and the jug of water that was by his head." So David is ridiculing Abner, the captain, the king's captain. So David did not destroy. So David did not destroy the king. So God will actually handle it as far as David is concerned, instead of so David did not destroy the king. So God will actually handle it as far as David is concerned. So let us, you know, in our lives today, let us let God handle our enemies. Because the minute we start doing it, it's like we're telling God we don't trust him. You know, just be still and let God. And let us trust God and walk in him by faith. And let me just jump into verse 25. It says, "Then Saul said to David, 'May you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also to and also still prevail.' So David went on his way and Saul returned to his palace." Okay, so here we see David, he trusted God and he let everything in God's hands. He didn't do it at his own time. He went back to God and trusted him that God would actually take care of everything and God would take care of his enemies. And that's what God did. So let us learn to put our trust and our faith in God in whatever we do. So this is our teaching for today. Thank you all for listening. God bless you and have a pleasant day. Bye.